more reasons why I'm excited because it's September. I'm excited because God's team, the Dallas Cowboys, play their first game today. Can I get an amen? It sure is quiet over here. I thought we were in cowboy country. Come on, y'all. I'm so excited. We got one person that's a Giants fan. I know. I won't say who it is. So we're praying for them. He's on the top of my prayer list. But it's gonna be a lot of fun. Football season begins. I'm excited. I'm also excited because it's college football as well. Yesterday was college football. So if you like football, it's exciting because it started. You know, I was with my fiance yesterday. We spent a wonderful time together. And we were at lunch at this restaurant. And all of a sudden, as I was talking, this was my fault because I sat in the wrong place. Because to my left and far away, there was a TV. And I didn't notice it. But all of a sudden, I saw in the corner of my eye some football players playing on a team. And all of a sudden, I felt this gravitational pull towards the TV. And I couldn't help myself. And before I knew it, I was watching the game. But she didn't get upset, so that's good. But there's just something about football. It's a lot of fun. So I'm excited about that. But I'm excited, so I just wanted to represent the Cowboys. And I really think we're going to do good this year. You may have a different team, and that's okay. But we talked about last week, at how important this new season is. And as I just talked about with some new people to serve in the church, we're going to have a lot of fun things in this church. A lot of great things are happening, but we don't want to stop there. We want to keep going. And so, you know, a new season, a lot of great things are happening. And we've been talking about a lot of different things this summer. And the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the heart and how important the heart is. I wanted to make an emphasis on that to let you guys know that salvation for the heart is important. You got to have that. But it doesn't stop just there. The heart is very important all throughout life. And anyone can get out of alignment with their heart. I want to give you an example. I saw an article, and it should be on the screen, from different publications who said there's a story about a pastor's wife who has been charged with endangerment after allegedly firing the pistol at the wife of a youth pastor in a church parking lot. Now, this is a pastors of New Life Apostolic Church, and what happened was is they got into a heated argument. The pastor's wife got into a heated argument with the youth pastor's wife. Okay, and so this kind of led up to something, and if you read the article, it basically says that it started small, and things escalated from there, and it came down to a t-shirt that the pastor wore that was offensive to the other, and so the guys decided, why don't we get all of our families together, and let's talk about this. Well, as the report says, and the article says, it went worse, and after it began to have discussions, the pastor's wife got very upset, went to the parking lot, the whole family there, and pulled out her pistol and accidentally went off and she shot the youth pastor. Now look, I know this is kind of crazy, okay? I know this may be shocking, and no, I'm never, ever, ever going to point a gun at Noah, okay? It sounds pretty out there if you think about it, but that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about two pastor's wives who are in ministry, leadership and ministry, and this happens. So there was a lot of discussion. Well, what? Well, it was because, you know, she wasn't called, or it was because of this or that. In my opinion, I fully believe that their hearts were out of alignment. And it started off small. And when it came to small, and small things begin to go into their heart, they did not align it back on the right track. And that just got worse and worse to the point where a t-shirt caused this individual to pull out a gun in the church parking lot and accidentally shoot her. Now, regardless of whether it was an accident or not an accident, she shouldn't have gone that far. So it's kind of like what we've been talking about. A lot of times in our lives, we think we're doing great. We're on the right path. We believe. Good things are happening. Bad things are happening. But we're trusting you. But our heart is letting things that shouldn't be in slowly go in, and we get off of alignment. Instead of quick fixes, we don't fix the problem. And you may end up like this if you keep it up. Now, there's another story of a pastor that I know, not very well, but I do know him. Great pastor, great guy, great church. Church is doing great. It's a very healthy church. It's going well. But he shared a story about whenever he himself didn't guard his heart. And what happened was is that he was starting this church. It was going well. And all these things were going great. And he started to notice that there was this guy that was coming through and vandalizing the parking lot. And so he finally said, I've had enough of this. And instead of other things that were putting his heart off the line, instead of fixing those, he then let it get worse and worse. He said, finally, he caught the guy out there that was messing with his parking lot, and he said he pulled him out of the vehicle through the door and said, if you ever mess with my church parking lot again, I'm going to mess you up. Now, he thought, oh, I'll get it. You know, I shouldn't have done that, but that's okay. That Sunday, a guy came up to him and said, hey, pastor, how you doing? I'm doing fine. You feeling okay? Because, you know, I kind of heard something. It's just hard for me to believe, but I invited this guy to church. And he said he met you the other day, and it was that guy. So the pastor, he fixed it, right? Just like we've been talking about, King David, he fixed it whenever he was messed up. He evaluated his heart. He had to do that. But even pastors' hearts can get out of alignment as well. No one is exempt from this. All of us can get off track time to time. We have to make sure we're in the right alignment with God in our hearts. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've been on a diet. I want to say 15 years going strong, maybe. From childhood to junior high to athletics, you know, football, it's size, strong, and then baseball, it's now you need to lose it all off so you can try to run. And it's been a constant thing back and forth. I've had ups, I've had downs, but the bottom line is this, it's been 15 years and I still don't have a six pack, okay? So diets fail me. I've tried it all. I've heard it all. You got to have carbs. No carbs. Well, a little bit of carbs. Now, you can't have coffee. No, you got to drink 2 cups of coffee. No. You can cheat on this day, but don't cheat on Tuesday. No, you can cheat on this day. Oh, folks, I'm telling you, starch. You can't have starch. No, you need starch. You can't have corn. No, you got to have corn. I don't know anymore. I just want to give up. Now that I'm getting married in December, everybody, oh, you got to get in shape. You got to get on that wedding diet. What diet? Why? I don't like doing those things, do you? I don't like sit-ups. I like to sit down. I don't want to do any of that stuff. And so you do these diets and they go on and on. Well, guess what happens? Eventually you burn out. A lot of times we do the 10-day diet. Well, if I just do it for 10 days, I won't get burned out. And that's great. You may see instant results. But in the long run, are you really going to your destiny? And here's the hard part is maintaining the diet. That's what's really hard. I'm a lot lighter than what I used to be, but I'm nowhere near where I want to be. You know, a lot of times in our lives, we look at God like a diet. You hear Christians, and they want to use God for a promotion. Well, if I start going to church, if I start doing this, if I start reading a certain amount of Bible scriptures, if I start doing some worship, then I'm going to get that what I want. If I give a little bit more in the offering plate. And that way I'll get that promotion. Or if I do a good deed for somebody, you know. You've probably heard it yourself. And maybe you've been in that mentality. But I just want to say that's not how God works. God wants a relationship with you. He doesn't want bargaining terms. He doesn't want some kind of deal. He wants your heart. He wants you to be with Him. He wants to be walking the road with Him. A relationship as a Christian is a lot like a marriage. And I truly believe that because you can do great in your marriage. You can have great times. You can have hard times. And it's a journey all throughout life. You can get closer. You can fall away. But you have to be faithful. You have to do good things. And if you don't, bad things will happen. And there is consequences. And so last week we talked about Titus. And so Paul's talking to Titus. He's saying, Titus, I'm leaving you behind because I want you to be in Crete so that way you will appoint the right people because there's a lot of problems there in the church. And so he tells Titus, there's some things you have to do. We as believers have to have self-control. I think self-control is something that all people must have. And that's my first point today before we go to Titus, is that self-control is proof of a follower. We can believe in Christ. We can share our faith, and we want that. We want that. And those are great things, but self-control is the proof of a follower. And that will be on the screen. Point one, self-control. That is the proof. So let me give you an example. Today we have social media. A lot of times you'll see people on social media, which is fine. I want you to share your faith. I want you to tell you if you're at church. I want you to do those things. But then 12 hours later, something bad will happen. And then you see them ranting, saying things they shouldn't say. They begin to put all their business. And if you want to do that, that's fine. But what I'm saying is if you begin to use things and words you shouldn't say or be in locations or make choices that you know is not what God wants, the self-control is gone and potentially your witness as well. Self-control is what the proof is as a believer. Now Paul, he says in chapter 2, verse 11 through 12, he says, "For the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people, and we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God." And if you back up and go to verse 1, this is what he says. "Titus, promote the kind of living that reflects wholesome teaching. Teach the older men to exercise self-control, to be worthy of respect, and to live wisely. They must have sound faith and be filled with love and patience. Similarly, teach the older women to live in a way that honors God. They must not slander others or be heavy drinkers. Instead, they should teach others to do what is good. These older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children, to live wisely and to be pure, to work in their homes, to be good, to be submissive to their husbands. Then they will not bring shame in the word of God." And in verse 6, he says, "In the same way, encourage the young men to live wisely. And you yourself must be an example to them by doing good works of every kind. Let everything you do reflect the integrity and seriousness of your teaching." So if Paul was here today, now we're a church, we're a different church than Crete. He was addressing certain situations. But I fully believe that the church today needs to have this same type of self-control and teaching, not only in churches, but also in families as well.
Amen.
In our circles that we're around. So Paul would probably say, family, fellowship, church, we have to exercise self-control. We have to be worthy of respect. We have to live wisely. We must have sound faith and be filled with love and patience. We always have to do things that honor God. We must not slander others. Self-control. Saying yes, amen in church and talking about all those things are wonderful. Living a holy life, though, is a whole other ballgame. And it's not easy. It's not easy. Now, I'm not saying we have to go back to the holiness apparel. And, you know, I love my great-grandmother so much. She was in the holiness era, Granny Roberts. And she had, you know, the big hair and the long dress. And, boy, she was amazing. We don't have to do that anymore. But we still have to have those type of integrity and self-control and live the same life that maybe your parents, grandparents, great-grandparents did. See, God honors it whenever we walk in the faith and have that self-control. So last week, I gave an illustration. And the illustration was this. I had a clear water bottle, okay? Crystal clear, just like this one here. And I had a little bit of a chemical. And I had a little bit of a little drop thing, whatever you call it. And I would list off small things in our lives that would kind of make the water, our hearts, not good. It's talking about comparison. Talking about sinful things, talking about envy, greed, jealousy, talking about certain things that lead to more sin. And before we kept going, that water that was clear was starting to get brown. Well, 1 week later, not addressing it, this is the water now. Now, I don't want to drink that, and I'm not. But you see what happens whenever we don't fix the things in our lives. You see that the heart begins to get worse and worse. And just like that story we read earlier, it may get to something crazy. Why? Because the heart is not fixed. The heart is not aligned right. Whenever we live for God and we live and do the right things, He keeps us straight. We have to have that discipline. This brings me to my second point, which is this. God blesses those who honor Him. God blesses those who honor them. Sure, we want to be blessed. Sure, we love the word blessed. We do. I love the word blessed. I love saying, God bless you, blessings to you, maybe blessed on an email. We want those things. But friends, I want to tell you, it's not all about God blessing me more than others. No, we have to walk it out for God. God's blessing us now. Now we know that. But God really blesses you when you simply live for Him. And you do it because you love Him. As I said earlier, this isn't some kind of pyramid scheme or some kind of formula that you have to do in order to get to a certain level with God. You gotta love Him. You gotta come with an open heart and you say, Lord, here I am.
Yes.
Here I am, Lord. Help me. And He does. And you begin that journey. And when you have self-control and you live for God, you love God. So love God by living for God. Because when you live for God, you love God. Right?
Right.
Some of you are thinking, well, how do I do that? I've been struggling with some things for years. I've been having some addictions that come up left and right, here and there. I have temptations here and there. I want to give you a passage. And I go by this passage a lot, because I'm not perfect either. And I try my best for self-control. And I've asked the same questions. Lord, how can I do this? Let's go to Romans 8. This is what Paul says. He says, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Have you ever been in a situation where you just feel the heaviness of the enemy? You know, Paul also talked about the spiritual realm. It's very real. Spiritual warfare, it's very real. And you feel like there's just an attack. It's an uneasy feeling. And it's just like your mind's just racing. And you hear this back and forth. I want you to read that passage and emphasize the last part of it that says, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. No God, no peace. We can try to have peace on our own. We can try it. I've tried it. It doesn't work. But when you walk with God, He gives you true peace. Peace beyond you can even describe. It's amazing peace. It's the only peace that the Holy Spirit can give. And just know that you're not alone. Not only are you not alone in the spiritual realm, when you cry out to the Holy Spirit and say, help me, God, help me get through this, He'll help you. But also this church as well. We're here in this together. So you begin to pray to God. You begin to walk in the Spirit. You begin to have self-control. You also got to sharpen your tools and sharpen your sword by reading the Word of God. You have to read it. If you start from Genesis and go to Revelation, some people can do that. That may be overwhelming for others. How about a devotional? Read a daily devotional. Get the YouVersion app or just talk to me. I'll be happy to give you some resources. Pray for certain things. If you don't know how to pray, please talk to me. We'd love to just show you. Just talking to God is all it is. Developing a prayer list. Get into a routine of things and you'll begin to see that self-control is a good thing because you're walking in the Spirit with God. You're walking in the Spirit with God. And you're loving God by living for God. Because friends, I'm just going to be bluntly honest with you. If you try to do it on your own, you're going to be like this. And this will be your heart. Now some of you may be saying, Sean, I'm already here. There's some people that this may be your first time you're watching this or maybe coming to church. We had an individual come to church last week during Wednesday night. He said, I haven't been to church in 8 years. I just stepped in here. I don't know why. And we just began to talk. If that's you, I want to let you know, if your heart's like this, there is good news. Because the same God who helps us maintain and live the life for Him can renew us to the point where we can be just like this and we accept Jesus Christ in our heart. Amen?
Amen.
Through Jesus Christ, we're made crystal clear. And this water never goes dry. We have the Holy Spirit to guide us throughout life. We have the Holy Spirit to renew us, to give us a fresh water, fresh drinking. So that way we're filled throughout the days and weeks, because sometimes we need it. The Christian life is not always easy. There's not pansies and roses everywhere and, you know, everything's good. No, it's hard. It's difficult. And the enemy's on attack. But friends, I'm telling you, when you love God and you live for God and you live for Him, He will bless you. Maybe you're thinking, why is self-control so significant? Why is this? I mean, we're all sinners. You know, we've all fallen. Only God can judge me. Okay. But why not live for God now and see how He can bless your life? And another thing too, friends, is that if you try to live for God on your own without having God help you, you're going to fall. Because we've talked about the heart. You're probably tired of hearing about the heart, you know. But it is important. Because the human heart in the Bible is not very good. The human heart usually fails. But when you have the heart going after God and you have the Holy Spirit to guide you, He'll help you. And that relationship gets closer and closer. So I have three questions. I'm going to ask Reuben to put them up again. And every week it's been three questions but different reactions. So what does God want is the first question. Maybe it's this week, what does God want from you? Maybe God wants you to get closer to Him. Maybe God wants you to go a little deeper in prayer or go a little deeper in the Word of God. Maybe God wants you to speak to someone. Maybe God wants you to witness to somebody. Maybe God wants you to invite someone to church or just do a nice thing. What does God want? What do you desire in Christ? Do you want to live for Christ or just acknowledge it? I acknowledge that God is real. But you know, James says, or John talks about how even demons believe that. So you got to go more than that. So what do you desire in Christ? Do you love God so much to where you'd follow Him no matter where He goes? And what is your assignment from God is the third question. This isn't just for the church. This is for daily life. I'm going to let God speak to you on that one. But what's your assignment from God? What is your assignment? So I'm going to ask Brother Keith to come up. He's going to play some music. And I want us just to spend a little time and dig deep and ask those three questions. And this is just going to be between you and the Lord.